Now, that's not behavior that we would expect from a pastor, is it? Why not? I'm only human, so is the pastor, right? Well, you know, isn't there a lot of people that get up on Sunday morning and say, oh, man, look at it. It's beautiful. I want to go hiking. I want to go to the park. I want to go out and sit and watch it, right? And yet, see, it's acceptable for them, but it would not be for a pastor. You know, nobody would ever have expected Reverend Bartmus to get up on a Sunday morning and say, hey, I'm going fishing. It's okay for everybody else, but not, hey, we're only human, right? We all have that humanness. And so this morning's message, I know everybody thinks it's going to be on excuses that we make and why we do things we do and that, but that's not what it's all about. You know, that was just a little kind of an introduction, is that we are human, okay? As humans, we think like humans. As humans, we act like humans. As humans, we do some good things, we do some bad things. But we are still human. And as humans, oh boy, see? You do things like knock pens off and stuff like that. Fall off of ladders. Yeah. I had more people tell me this week, stay off a ladder as a human. How many here have built a garage or house or shed or something on their own? Okay. Now, can I ask you a question? Was you able to do all the work of building that with ever getting off the ground? You never got off the ground? I haven't figured out how to reach the 8-foot side without getting on something. You know? You ever try to nail something that you can just barely touch? It doesn't work. You got to get up. And so, yeah, I was watching American Pickers. I like American Pickers. Anybody ever watch American Pickers? I love that show because they're out there finding history and they're out there finding things. And I love the stories behind some of the things. And they were in this place and they were picking and Mike saw a sign and it was up there. And he said, how'd that sign get up here? And she said, well, I think my dad put it up there. She said, but, you know, he said, well, that little vestibule thing in front of it, he said, how solid is it? She said, I don't know if I trust it. This is an older building. And she said, I don't know. So he goes over and he gets a big box and he gets something a little smaller and sets it on. And he's climbing 12, 13 feet into the air on these. And Frank's standing there saying, only Mike would do something that stupid. You know, because Frank's being a little heavier than that. He's you know, like a lot of us is, we feel much better on solid ground and not up there. But, you know, he was doing something. Why do we do stupid things sometimes? It's because we're human. You know, just think about it. How many of you, if you knew that going home from church, you were going to be in an accident, we'd go a different route. Right? If we knew that, you know, if I knew that slipping off the second rung of the ladder was going to put me in the hospital overnight, you think I'd have done it? No. Well, on our humanness, see, is we forget that being human, we are subject to the life of humans. We are subject to the frailties of humans. We are subject to everything everybody else is subject to. We talked about it a little bit in our Sunday school class. Why are we subject to hardships? Why do Christians suffer hardships? There's one good explanation. The Bible tells us the reason there's that kind of stuff in the world was sin. All you are sin-free, right? None of you have ever sinned. If you've never sinned, then you won't have any problem in your life. But see, the Bible tells us sin is why we suffer, right? Sin is why we have issues. And so, you know, we have to realize that, you know, what does God say that we humans are to be like and stuff? You know, being human is not a reason to have an excuse why something failed. Being human is not a reason to have an excuse of why I did this. That doesn't cut it. Being human is, that's exactly what we are. We're human. Okay? We think no different. We act no different. We are no different. but through the grace of God. And so what is God's expectation of humanness? You know, our expectation is that pastors would not skip church to go fishing or hunting or anything like that, right? Yeah, it'd be okay for us. Yeah, think about it. We do think different, like, you know. An elder should never do this. A Sunday school teacher should never do this. Wait, are you a believer? What's the difference? You're covered by the same grace of God that I am. And so we're all the same. And so oftentimes what we do is we use our humanness to say, well, this is why I made mistakes. This is, no, it's not why you made mistakes. Being human is, you are human. You can't change that. God says, though, that we can, as humans, be something different. That we can be different in our life. If you return to Acts chapter 14, verse 8 through 20, if you don't have it, I'm in the New American Standard Version. You know, I choose this because it's the one I like to read. Okay, I like to read the New American Standard Version. I like to read them all, so that's why I use my iPad, is because if you say, man, I got the New American Standard and he's reading something different, it could be because I just went hit a button and it automatically brings me to another version. I promise you I won't read the Amplified Version because John 3:16 took an hour and a half this morning for Janine to read. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, became a book in the Amplified. I mean, the thing's got to be about four paragraphs long, which is good. If you want to read the Amplified Bible in a year, you're going to work at it. There's a lot more words in there than most of the other ones. Okay, Acts chapter 14, starting with verse 8. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Glenn, I didn't pick this one because you have no strength, because you weren't like that before. We know you ran marathons. And this man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he fixed his gaze on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand up! Get up on your feet!" Okay? So he was listening to Paul preaching, and Paul looks out at me, and he recognizes that this man has faith. You know? So he's paying attention to what was around him, wasn't he? And he says, "Stand up, get up on your feet." And he leaped up, and he began to walk, and the crowd saw what Paul had done. They raised their voice, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have become like men and have come down to us." They began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. Zeus and Hermes. You know, Greek names, aren't they? What were they? Anybody know what Zeus and Hermes were? Somebody surely knows. They're Greek gods. And so these people that were around said, these are the Greek gods come down to us in human form. And so the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, wanting to offer sacrifice with the crowds. And when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes, rushed out in the crowd, saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature. You preach the gospel to you that should turn from these vain things to living God, who made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." What did Paul say? Wait a minute. I'm human. I'm only human, just like you. Okay? What did God expect from humans? Well, the first thing that we have to realize is that God expects us to do good. What was Paul doing? As the man was sitting there, Paul was preaching, and he looked out. And he saw that, you know, can you imagine this man? He had to be on the ground, good place. I'd probably be better off if I laid on the ground more. When Hurts, you know, see, it's not the fall that always gets me. It's a sudden stop at the end of it. But anyhow, he's laying on the ground, and he's intently listening to what Paul's saying. Here's a man with some problems, isn't it? He's never been able to walk since birth. And he's intently listening. And so Paul, he's standing there and he's preaching. And you know, Paul was a man of action, and he looked, and he's standing there and he's watching his crowd that's preaching, and he's looking out, and all of a sudden he says, "Ooh, hey, you're a man of great faith. Go ahead, get up and walk." Paul didn't ask him any questions. Paul didn't look. He looked at him. He looked at his expression and looked at his desire and felt that here was a man of great faith. And he said, "Get up and walk." The man did immediately, took off, and all of a sudden everybody started, "Oh, the gods are among us. The gods are among us. Great power." Do we often honor people that have gifts that God gives them for being greater than some of the others? Have we ever done that? Do we ever put people in a place of higher esteem? Yeah. How many here have never done that? We could say we never did it. Well, I know, I don't do that. How many here think Billy Graham was a great preacher? How many here think Dave Love's a great preacher? How come not as many hands went up as for Billy Graham? You see, we look a lot of times at people's, of what people do, and here Paul and Barnabas, they were out there and they were preaching it, and these people looked at them and they said, "These are some great men. These are gods. These are gods." And Paul was doing what he should be doing. Galatians 6:9-10 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those that belong to the family of God." The scripture tells us that we as humans, our time should be given up to doing what? Good. So the first thing God expects from us is that we are to go about doing good. When? Huh? When? When? How many listened to what I read? How many listened? You guys better turn to Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Can you find it real quick up there, Dave? Okay, no? Okay. All right. Anyhow, listen, I will read it slower because I know I do talk fast sometimes. Maybe you didn't hear everything I read. Stop me when you think you know the answer because none of you are right yet. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially that..." I'll start again. When do we do good? When we have opportunity. Think about that. See, can we always be always just going out doing good? Huh? Does anybody have time to just always be going around doing good for everybody? Anybody here have to work? Huh? Anybody don't? Yeah. Woo! How many of you can give up 24/7 to just go around doing good? You can't. But see, what the scripture says here in Galatians, it says when? When we have opportunity. God gives us opportunity to do good. Okay? So what do we got to be doing? Looking for the opportunity. That's right. Hey, now we're getting it. Okay? You don't give up doing good, but you look for the opportunities to do good. Okay? Because I might sometimes want to do... Can I do a good deed for you?
Sure.
I don't like the way your hair is, so I'm going to make it a little different.
It goes right back.
You know? He's like my son-in-law. He's got investments in a gel company somewhere. Because he makes money by putting it on his head. What I think is a good deed may not be a good deed, right? Huh? What I think is a good deed. Yeah, there was a man. He was in his 70s. He might have been in his 80s. And he decided that, you know, he had worked all his life and he was a contractor and he was doing some really, really good things and stuff. And he decided that God had called him in time to now go into the ministry. Okay? And so he's going to build a church. And he decided that I'm going to build this church for this congregation. And he went out and he started working on the church. And he said it cost about $90,000, and that was going to be his ministry. He'd build the church by his own hands and leave it and do that for God. Anybody see a problem with that? Was he building a church for God or was he building a church for him? Huh? He didn't want no help. You know why he didn't want no help? People get in my way. They don't do it the way I want it done. They don't, yeah? None of you would ever think like that, right? Somebody shows up to help and you say, I don't need any help, even though you might need help, because I don't think they'll do it the way I want it done, and so I don't want their help because, right? We can all, you know, doing good deeds isn't always good for the people that are getting the good deeds, depending on what they're thinking, too. But see, that's not what the Bible says, that we are to go around looking for opportunities to do good to all, especially the believers. Now, what Paul did here, as he was preaching, and I can imagine he stopped in mid-sentence because he really recognized this guy's faith, and that right in mid-sentence, and he walked down and he said, hey, get up and walk. He didn't mess around. He didn't mess around. He felt God leading him to go down there to that man and saying, get up. He saw an opportunity. Okay? He took it. He jumped into it. Many times we have opportunities that we don't always jump into. I saw he had the one up there that I was reading. And it's very clear that it says when we have opportunity that we are to go around doing good. God expects us to be looking for the opportunities. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, that guy deciding to build a church maybe wasn't what God wanted done. Okay? We don't know. We have to be looking for the opportunities from God. Okay? So it doesn't mean we just go around doing good. Because our version of good sometimes is pretty whacked out. Right? You know? They always say what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Not always. Right? My version of good and your version of good may be two different things. But we have to be looking for opportunities to do what God has prepared for us to do. The good that God has prepared. We were created to do good works that He has prepared ahead of time. So if I go out and say, well, this is what I'm going to do for God this week, is that necessarily what God had prepared me to do? Okay? You know, God knows us and knows our frailties and knows what we're like, and you look, and I'll bet you there was a few surprised people when they come in last week and I wasn't preaching and Joe was. Right? I don't know about you guys, but I'm hot in here. Huh? I'm sweating. So it's either my body's still not 100% good and I'm using a lot of energy here, or or it's warm in here. But either way, don't mind my sweat. I won't get it on you. You know, Joe had contacted me a few weeks back, and we had talked about this for several months and that, and Joe said, he said, I'd like to be put in the schedule sometime. And a perfect opportunity was, because of camp and because people missing and stuff like that, I was going to do last week and this week. I was going to do the two Sundays back to back because I was going to be here. Okay. Well, Joe contacted me and he sent me his outline and he said, I'd like to be put in the schedule sometime. And I said, okay, Joe. And I sent back immediately the next day. That's not immediately, but I conferred with Dave because Dave knew that I was going to preach both Sundays. And I said, Dave, Joe said, how about if we give him the 31st? Because that way I don't preach back-to-back Sundays, and it's a Sunday that will be open and stuff like that. And so I texted back, and I said, Joe, how about the 31st? Are you available? And he said, yeah. Friday night, when Joe got a call and said, can you, or maybe it was Saturday, when Joe got the call, that can you preach this Sunday instead of next Sunday? He did it, okay? He did what God had prepared in advance. I chose the 31st for him. God chose the 24th. I don't know why. You know? Maybe God knew ahead of time that I wasn't going to be here because he knew I was going to be in the Allegheny General Hospital. Or maybe God didn't like my plan. I don't know. But see, God prepares in advance what he has in store. Okay? I'll just think. And this was my thought, though, to tell you where this all fits in is, let's say Joe hadn't contacted me a couple weeks before that, or actually it was a week before that or whatever, and said, could you put me in a schedule? I'm ready to go. What would have happened is Dave, who is, he's got all time in the world to do anything, you know, he doesn't have any He doesn't have any constraints on his life. When he got the call that I was not going to be available for Sunday, I could have preached last Sunday if the doctor would have let me go. I could have preached. Might not have been totally coherent. I'd have really been sweating, yeah. But the thing was, If Joe hadn't contacted me, I'd have been calling Dave, you're going to have to preach Sunday, and he'd had to get something ready between and one day, which I'm sure he would have been at. But see, God's plan and God's advanced planning, we already had a plan in effect that worked, even though it wasn't the plan that we as humans make. And that's what I want you to understand is the good we do has to be in God's planning, okay? We do a lot of good things regardless of God, okay? There are people that don't know God that do good things, right? We do a lot of good things, but see, the good that this is talking about, going about doing good, it's the heavenly good. It's the good of the realm of God. And so God wants us to recognize is that the good we are to be doing is the good that he has planned for us to do. The second thing we got to see from this text is we have to be humble when doing it. What did Paul and Barnabas say when they started talking to him and saying, oh, these are the gods come to us in human form? What did they say? I'm only human. Okay, I'm only a man. Is it hard to be humble when somebody's praising you for something you did? If everybody here shakes their head no, I'd like for you to tell me how that works. You know? Don't you feel a little pride once in a while when you do something somebody else recognizes as that was really great? Huh? Don't you? You know? Don't you know? That's human, isn't it? It's human. Did God give us pride? If he didn't, who did? You know what I mean? Because God expects us to have some pride in our life. That's what makes perfectionists and people do what they do, right? But God wants us to take that pride and use it for him. But when something good happens, God says, just remember, though, you're the vessel. You're the vessel. I'm the worker. I'm the flow. I'm what's doing it. And so, you know, we have to understand is that there are times when, you know, we get up and we do stuff and then we let the results make us too prideful. The results become too prideful. And so what happens with our focus? We forget that it was through God that we did it. Right? We were looking this morning is that we have hope. What is hope? If you're seeing it, it's not hope. We have hope in what we haven't seen. Why? Because we're looking for what God's going to reveal through it to us. The hope comes because we're looking for the revelation of God through it. And if we're truly looking for the revelation of God, then we know it's not us. We are just a channel. We are there. And so Paul says, we are only men like you. We're just bringing you. We're bringing you what? The good news of Christ. We're bringing you the gospel. We're bringing you God. He says, we're not any different than you are. And so, you know, you go back to that man that was building the house, the church, and he did a good thing. But he didn't want anybody to help him because they might not do it the way he wanted it done. You've never thought that way, huh? Hey, God, don't help me on this one because you might not do it the way I want it done. Huh? Does God always do it the way we want it done? Why not? Did you ever think about that? Why not? He's prepared in advance the plan. Oh, so if we do it the way he has it, wants it done, guess what happens? Man gets up and walks. The man gets up and walks. Gordon Liddy. He was a Watergate conspirator, in case you don't know. He once said, I found within myself all I need and all I ever shall need. I am a man of great faith. But my faith is in George Gordon Liddy. I've never failed me. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever failed you? Well, we look at it and it was, I didn't really fail. It just didn't work. Thomas Edison, you know, he didn't fail making a light bulb. He just made 999 of them before he got one that worked the way he wanted it to work, right? We don't look at things that we do that don't work out just as we failed me, you know? When we go out doing good that isn't planned by God, who are we failing? God, not me. I still did good. So we have to have that humble atmosphere about us. No matter what Paul did in life, and I want you to understand this. Paul never lost focus of one thing. What was that? Everything Paul did in his life, what was the one thing he never lost focus on? Huh? Giving glory to God. Nope. Wrong answer. Sorry. Anybody else want to guess? Got something different? Having faith? Well, wrong answer. What was the one thing he never forgot? Getting close. Getting close. What do you always say? I am the chiefest of sinners. Paul never forgot the fact that he was a sinner. And so, what he realized in that was all the things that you guys all said. I have to give glory to God because obviously I'm a sinner. I have to have faith in God because obviously I'm a sinner. Everything he did was because he knew that God had set him free from his sin and that nothing he could do on his own could set him free or could help that situation. It was only God. And so he never forgot the fact, and you see it in a lot of his scriptures, a lot of his texts. He says, I'm a sinner. You know what he wants you to realize? And we forget this today. I'm seriously feel that we forget this today. What he wants you to realize is he's just like everybody else. And guess what? So are you. Okay? You're no better than anybody else in the human form of life. You're a sinner. Through the grace of God, your sins have been forgiven. And that's the only way it happens. And so God wants us as humans to go about doing good that he has planned for us and then to be humble in that. And one last thing he wants us to see. I'll go back to, you got 14. Where did I stop? Huh? I stopped at 15. No, okay. Let's start with 17. And yet he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave you from heaven rains and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts. And with these sayings, scarce restrained that they multitudes from doing sacrifice unto them. But there came Jews thither from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and entered into the city. And on the morrow, he went forth with Barnabas to Derbe, and they started preaching the gospel in another city. It's the third thing God wants you to understand as being human. When you go about doing good that he has planned, and you give the glory to him for what he has planned, life stinks. You're going to face opposition. Okay? Why did Paul get stoned? Because he did something bad? No, he got stoned because he did something that God wanted him to do, and he gave the glory to God. And people didn't like that. So the third thing you got to see in this text here is God wants us to do good. He wants us to glorify him and do it humbly, but you're going to get opposition in it. And that's why the scripture says, don't give up on doing good. Don't quit on doing good. Don't. Because the scripture tells us we are going to face opposition. People are not going to like it when we're doing good for God. People are not going to be happy with us when we're doing good for God. Oh, well, that's because they're sinners. Wait a minute, aren't we all sinners? Guess what, folks? People in the church aren't always going to be happy when you do something good for God. Because that's not the way I had planned it. That's not what I thought should happen. We all have our own opinions, don't we? Anybody here don't have any opinions? You're not opinionated? Huh? We all have our own opinions. Sorry, I'm sweating like crazy now. Good thing I'm not long-winded. I might melt away. We're going to face opposition. 2 Timothy 3:10 says, you, however, know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. God rescued Paul from all those. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, listen to this, everyone who wants to live a godly life. Anybody here want to live a godly life in Jesus? Huh? If you want to live a godly life in Jesus, raise your hand. You know, tell God, I want to live a godly life for Jesus, right? All right? This is what Paul says in 2 Timothy. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Everyone that wants. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, you will be persecuted. You, continue in what you have learned, become convinced of, because you know these from whom you've learned it, that your salvation through faith in Jesus Christ will get you through. No matter who you are, no matter how much good you do, no matter how faithful you are, no matter what you do for God, you will face opposition. And the opposition can come from family, from friends, from church. Isn't it crazy that more of our opposition comes from those that are supposed to love us than those that don't? Huh? You know? Our opposition comes. And so we have to realize is that we, if we are living for Christ, if we are doing the good that He has prepared for us, if we are giving Him the glory, people will look at you and they'll say, I don't like him. I don't like what he does. I don't like how he does that. I would be willing to bet that I do things some of you say, I don't like that he does that. Talking loud is one of those things. People don't, I talk a lot. Yeah, I'm deaf in one ear. And sometimes I think I can't hear out of the other one at times. And so I do talk loud. And people say I'm yelling. And I'm like, no, I'm talking normal. Because it sounds normal to me. You know, you hear yourself talk. If your ears don't work right, you don't hear yourself the way other people hear you. But if we're doing what God wants us to do, we're going to meet opposition. One day, a man met the preacher Charles Spurgeon on a street. He took off his hat and he bowed and he said, "The Reverend Mr. Spurgeon, a great humbug." How would you like that, huh? Somebody comes up and tells you you're a great humbug, you know, for doing something good. Spurgeon took off his hat and replied, "Thank you for the compliment. I'm glad to hear that I'm great in anything." While building the Panama Canal, Colonel George Washington Juffles had to endure the constant criticism of countless busybodies back home who freely predicted that he would never complete his task. The resolute builder continued and pressed on steady. And his subordinates were like, you know, they were constantly seeing him being bashed about this. And they said, "Aren't you going to answer to your critics?" He said, "In time." And the engineer looked at him and he says, "Well, how are you going to answer?" He said, "When I finish the project." See, we will have opposition. We will have critics. But when we finish doing the work that God has us planned to do, guess what? Doesn't matter what the critics say, because God looks at it and says, "Well done. Well done." We have to remember that we are constantly going to be bombarded. How do we keep the silence and of our opponents and our critics and that? Just keep doing what God wants you to do and has planned for you to do. You keep focused on that, you'll silence those around you. God wants us to realize is that He gave us grace so that we might go out and do His will in His planning, giving Him the glory, facing all the opposition that's going to hate us. So what? His work on this earthly shore shall be manifest. That's how it gets done. Okay? Paul says, "I'm going about and do the good work that I've been called to do." But remember, just like you and you and you, well, I'll take that one back. We're all human. Okay? As humans, we have the nature of sin. It's still there. Okay? We have the frailty of the human body. We hurt, we suffer, we do stupid things, break bones, bleed, you know. See, if I didn't have a bad heart with my AFib, half of these hematomas wouldn't come because I wouldn't have to be on blood thinners. Okay? So I like all you guys have suggested, I've come to the conclusion the best bet for me would be to get a big bag of bubble wrap myself up, sit in a chair, and just die in that chair. Right? Hey, I guarantee I wouldn't get any more bleeders. Yeah, but see, the thing is, how many of you like to bust the bubbles in a bubble wrap? Isn't that fun? You want to bet that the way it goes, that when I fell off the ladder with the bubble wrap on, they'd all break and I'd still hit? Huh? I'll bet all the bubbles would just go, blah! You just hear, bang. Right? So the only way to do it is wrap myself in bubble wrap and put myself on a chair and never do anything. And you know what? A lot of Christians think like that too. If I go out and do this for God, I'm going to get opposition. If I go out and do this for God, people are going to look at me wrong. If I go out and do this for God, people are going to think I'm strange. If I go out and do it, you know? And so we continuously roll back and think in our humanness. God says, I made you human. And as humans, this is what I want from you. Do the good that I have prepared for you. Do it in a fashion in which you glorify me. And do it in a fashion that you know you're going to get opposition. But I will get you through the opposition. Satan attacks us in ways that he knows we're weakest. Okay? Some of those attacks he uses other believers. Because that's a bigger impact on us when another believer attacks us, isn't it? Than when somebody out in the world attacks us. One day at a time. I want you to do something this week, if you want to do it. If you don't want to do it, it's not going to affect me, maybe. But it might. I don't know. Every morning, when you get up, I want you to say, God, make very clear to me the opportunity today that you have prepared for me to do good today. And give me the strength today to do what you have already prepared for me to do. If you do that, and the reason I say, don't just do it tomorrow, do that every morning this week. If you make that into a habit to get up and say, God, show me, make it very clear to me today, God, somewhere where you give me that opportunity, let me see it. Because see, as Jason said, one of the things you got to be doing is looking for the opportunity. If you get up and say, God, make it very clear to me, show me where the opportunity is, you'll be able to do the things God has prepared and planned.